L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love.
Live from the 1480 studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. I love this song. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and for a woman's point of view, Trisha. So, oh, thank you. Anyway, this is a nice song. I like the horns right now so we could hear in the background. And I forgot what movie that was in.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, one of my favorites. Tom Hanks.
How could you forget it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
L is for the way you look at me. Oh, come on, Eric.
Oh,
is for the only one.
I know the song, but I don't know the lyrics.
Me and Eric will stay out of it.
Is very boom, boom, boom. Come on,
boom, boom.
Extraordinary.
Again, the in-person hearing or singing you're hearing is Joseph and Dave. Greg and Eric will take over the show with Trisha from here.
Happy Valentine's Day,
Eric. Turn their microphones off, please.
Oh, yeah.
You don't like my Louis Armstrong?
I actually do like that.
That was so good.
It takes two for love, right?
It takes two for Valentine's Day?
Yes, absolutely.
How does it take two?
It takes two for love, and you.
My Valentine's Day always been reservations for one.
Was made.
Excuse me?
What? Except for this year.
Hello.
Thank you.
Love. Was made for me.
Can I kill the music?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Please right. Kill it.
Killed Joseph's microphone. Not the. All right. Hey, good. You have a second career somewhere.
You're turning my
yeah, at a karaoke
up.
Bar.
How about mine? Where's mine anyway?
Can you turn my headphones down?
Oh, yeah.
Please?
Is that it right there?
That's good. That's good.
Where am I?
I don't know.
You're right.
I can't
here,
even
baby.
Follow the cord.
Follow the cord.
Cord.
Oh,
yes.
Here I am. I
go.
Could hear it. Okay, anyway.
It's our Valentine's Day special. That's what that's all about.
And it makes sense because next Friday, if you don't have a Valentine's, you better get one.
Yes.
Blow Up Dolls start at 1999.
We already had that show. Remember
oh,
that?
We did?
Yeah, remember the Intangible Love Show.
Real doll.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, you already have a Valentine here.
Yeah, you're right.
In studio.
Yeah, so we don't need...
me, right? No, I'm kidding.
No, but the Blow Up Doll...
Oh, wait a minute here.
What's going on? Wish.
Wish?
He's what all a... mine, baby.
Yeah, yeah sorry. Anyway.
Sorry.
No, I'm not sorry.
Joseph is wearing a pink shirt.
Sorry to Joseph.
Pink. Yeah,
this
is that pink?
That's red.
Come on.
It's
same
red.
Color as my red Valentine. Boots, right?
Yeah, see, he's got Valentine's.
I pulled
your red
them
boots
off.
On again.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm going to
Eric,
graffiti
you have
crawl.
A red
You're going to
thing.
A who?
I have a red hoodie.
A graffiti
yeah, that,
crawl?
That's for Valentine's Day.
What's a graffiti crawl?
I didn't even think about it.
A what? What?
Graffiti crawl.
We're talking about I have no idea what a graffiti crawl is.
That's where you go from house to house spray painting.
No, that's that'll be another group. My group is going to be there with white shirts. I have a white shirt under this, and everyone's going to be drawing and stuff like that on each other's shirts. Yeah.
And it's a what a crawl?
A graffiti crawl. Everyone goes from bar to bar, and
it's a pub crawl.
Yeah,
but you decorate each other's shirts with colorful pens and stuff like that.
With a little bit of flash, whatever it's called.
Yeah, with a little bit of bling.
What's that called? The flash
bling.
Mob.
Flash mob.
Yeah, remember?
We should plan one of those. Breakthrough Entertainment flash.
We had a specialized attorney that just did flash mobs.
Flash something else.
Yeah, it was a woman attorney.
Yeah,
I go flash out again.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we have a lot of guests today in honor of our Valentine's Day special. And, you know, joining us soon will be two guests. But first of all, we have on Rachel D'Alto. She is the author of Flirt Fearlessly. And so she is basically a flirt expert and is joining us.
Nice.
You know how to flirt, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watch this.
Now, Joseph is just talking about flirting, and he gets all tongue-tied.
But let's demonstrate it. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. And back to Joseph for more flirting.
Yes, well, and I believe that we're getting another guest on the line as well right now, Hunt Etheridge. He's the co-founder and chief marketing officer of International Dating Coach Association. He's a dating coach. And okay, he'll be joining us in a minute, but let's get it started with Rachel. You know, so this segment we're devoting to finding your special someone. We want you to help us find our special someone and maybe know how to flirt a little bit.
And the emphasis is help Joseph find a special someone. Anyway, yeah, how do you do
you
that?
Don't want to get anyone in trouble, so.
But before you actually, I have a curious question. Flirt fearlessly. How do you define flirting?
I define flirting as making an authentic connection with someone. So it doesn't necessarily have to be seduction-based. I think you can flirt platonically. I think part of it is understanding the boundaries and kind of the rules around it. But flirting is really just a way to connect with someone and do it on a very human level as opposed to text and email, although you can flirt in those. I like to define flirting as in person.
Now, can married people flirt, or is that
absolutely?
Oh, they can? Ooh. But no, not with each other, I mean.
Flirt with each other.
Yeah, but not with each other.
You can definitely flirt with other people.
Oh.
You just have to be respectful
flirting is
on the situation.
Flirting is supposed to be fun and innocent. It's hitting on that gets weird.
I got you.
There's Hunt.
Hey, Hunt.
Thank you so much for joining us, Hunt.
Sorry, technical difficulties joining in.
No problem, no problem. We're glad to have both of you on today. And, Hunt Etheridge, he is a CMO and he's basically a dating coach.
Of the International Dating Coach Association.
Yeah, he's CMO, and co-founder of the International Dating Coach Association. So, you know, these are two people who, if you're going to
find love. Two heavy hitters.
Yeah, they're going to help us. I mean, help us and our listeners. By that, I mean me.
I got a quick question. Is this is like the real life Will Smith's character from that?
Well, is that correct?
Basically, what I use to help people understand what I do, yes, Hitch. Basically, making people the best versions of themselves so that they can go out and be the most dateable person out there.
That's a great, great way of explaining it. And I know that when we were talking through email, you made the distinction between a dating coach and a pickup artist. Can you explain the difference to us here?
Sure. Well, a pickup artist basically is just focused on immediate results, usually uses manipulation and negative things to achieve a particular result. That's not good. The goal is not to get... And this is what the first thing I teach my clients. The goal is not to get more women. The goal is not to get more men. The goal is to turn yourself into someone that's so interesting that it draws people to you. So it's really an inside-outward approach.
Well, that's great. That's a great, great way to say it. And, you know, because I'm familiar with the game. I'm sure. I'm not saying that I'm a player of the game, but I'm familiar with it, and I know some of the rules.
He's a bench warmer,
right? Exactly. I read the game. I don't do much of it. But in terms of flirting, the game tells you to do a lot of push pull methods.
Yes.
Is that okay to do? And could you describe what that is? If it is okay to do.
Okay, so in the game and in the pickup artist, they use things called, the push-pull or negs. And what that does is it's supposed to kind of mess with a person's self-esteem. You say something nice followed by something maybe not nice. So the person, or not necessarily not nice, but just keeps the person off kilter so they don't know what's going on, which opens them to suggestion, basically. Whereas I like to say that you're like a drug and that the people feel so good when they're around you that they want to be around you in order to feel good. I just don't think it's right to mess with people.
And I would like, this is Tricia, I would like to not gloss over what you said at the very beginning about what you do. You help others to be the best of themselves. And that's the whole thing. It's genuine, and it's who they are, what they are. That's how you're going to find your perfect match.
Hey,
Can I ask something?
Yes.
And that's the thing with pickup artists is they're trying to be somebody different. And that might work for a night or, a small period of time, but eventually it's not going to work for the long haul because it's not you, and it's not genuine, and we want to affect real, long-lasting, permanent, life-changing effects.
Eric.
Yeah, I have a question. Does appearance matter?
Yeah.
Yes?
Smidge.
But you
matters.
Don't have to be a rock star. You don't have to be the best looking person in the room. But your appearance absolutely is going to be the first thing that anyone, whether you're a man or a woman, we're attracted to the physicality first, and then we get to know the emotional side after, whether it's online or off. So doing the best that you can with what you have is what I teach my clients to do.
Go ahead.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
Joel's not necessarily a classically attractive man, but he got Christie Brinkley. So
yeah, but he had millions, too.
My sister dated Billy Joel.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
That's true, yes.
Wow.
What's that?
Is she the original Uptown girl?
My sister is very Uptown, yes.
No, and she started the fire, too.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I know in the game is that you're supposed to stand out in terms of appearance, since we're on that. You're supposed to be loud in the room in terms of your appearance. I'm wearing red boots today, and whenever I go to, you know, some social gathering, I wear red boots. I want to stand out. Is that okay, or is that not okay?
Not okay.
I think that's a great way to just build, you know, a talking point with people, to mm-hmm. give them an entry. I think the hardest thing for a lot of people when they're dating and flirting is that they don't know how to start a conversation, or they know how to start a conversation, just not with people they're attracted to.
So Joseph,
if you're wearing red pants or red boots or crazy hair, I mean, it definitely gives them an opening.
All the above.
So Joseph, do you walk up to a girl and say, "Look at my boots"?
No, not that. I want them to notice. But I like what our two guests are telling us. Basically, you want to be kind of the person that other people want to be in your life, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. The one thing, too, based on, you know, speaking about, like, the red boots and things, the things that I teach my clients is, in order to be noticed, you have to be noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. If you wear beige and stand up against the wall, no one's going to notice you. So I agree, and the game calls it peacocking, and I think that's a little ostentatious, but absolutely. I mean, during the winter up here in New York City, especially, everyone's in dark colors. If I went on a date with a woman and she was in a yellow dress, man, that's going to draw every eye in the room. So, yeah, it gives you, like Rachel said, it gives you a starting point. It gives you a place to begin, and then obviously who you are is going to affect the change afterwards.
Now, let me ask both of you. This is Dave again. Number one, long-term commitments usually are not based on physical. You know, if they really work long-term, because long-term, everyone's getting older anyway, and things change. So you know, I've given seminars for singles and so on, and I always said, you know, people are using short-term criteria, hoping for a long-term committed relationship. The short-term criteria often is the superficial stuff, you know, physical looks and maybe what they do, that type of stuff. So you both said, you know, physical appearance is important, but confidence and some inner qualities, and why don't you discuss this, how does that diminish and really cloud the physical appearance? Because ultimately people are attracted truly long-term with inner qualities. Who wants to go first? Rachel, you go first.
Sure. So the thing with the physical attractiveness, absolutely, that's the initial outset. But once you get to know someone who's very physically attractive can become ugly based on the qualities that they have. And what I teach people is to really identify core values. I give them four non-negotiables that they can create so that they know whether or not they should date somebody or continue to date somebody. So it's really about identifying those values that you have for a potential partner, whether it's loyalty or honesty or generosity or anything that you think you can't live without in a partner, because I hate to say it, when we are all 100, we're not looking as hot as we were when we're 25. But those qualities that we have, they tend to last throughout those decades. So what I have people focus on is really identifying those qualities, dating the people that meet those qualities. Of course, you want to be attracted to them, but then refusing to date the people that don't have those qualities.
Well said.
Usually make sure that you have it's a barometer.
That makes sense. Hunt, your opinion on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, much similar to Rachel, the way that I say it is that people are like Christmas presents. It's the gift wrap that's going to first attract you, but it's what's inside that's going to be meaningful. And
but unwrapping is so fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. The problem is that, say, women may have standards that they give themselves based on Disney movies, and that men have standards that they you know, of beauty and things. So the part is really to start working with the individual person to find out what it is they're really looking for, some so that you can get past that initial stage. Because if you have to look in their past, if they keep doing the same thing and same thing, you know that they have to focus on what's inside. And sometimes that's one of the toughest things that, you know, in matchmaking, you know, a woman will come in and say, I'm looking for a this, a this, a this, a that, and a this. And honestly, the people that they've maybe dated the longest in their past didn't have those qualities. So it was something new and interesting that they liked, but they're putting themselves into their own box of what they're looking for. And likewise, men, you know, are so many times hung up on the actual physical beauty that they don't take time to really explore what's inside the person. So that's one of our challenges. I mean, it's absolutely the most important thing. I'm married, and the reason I'm married is because when I met my wife, I could talk to her about anything at any time, anywhere. And like Rachel said, at 85 years old, when we're sitting around in our rocking chairs, we're not going to want to jump each other's bones. But, man, we can talk all day long.
You never know, hon.
My parents would definitely disagree. This is Trisha.
Oh,
I will tell
it.
You. No, I'm sorry. But I'll tell you, it is so sweet to see them holding hands, caressing, the love that has lasted them for 63 years.
And one's almost 90 and one's 86. Yeah,
my dad's
and they do lock the bedroom door.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Good.
Yes, yes. No, my dad's turning 90 in July and my mom is 85.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Congratulations to them if they're listening.
Yeah. And, you know, Hunt, I'm amused that you mentioned about the standards based on Disney movies, because it's kind of a running joke that's not exactly a joke. It's actually real that I'm attracted to the Snow Queen from Frozen.
Animated figures, in other words.
Yeah. Yes.
We have a psychologist working with him right now.
Yes,
as well.
Yes. I'm working
all
on
right,
that.
I'm a Jasmine fan myself.
Really?
Yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Ariel is pretty good.
She does
good.
Have beautiful
eyes.
Oh,
yeah, Ariel.
Especially when she got legs.
But see, here's my issue, and I want to talk about approach anxiety, because I, despite who I am on the radio, in real life, I have a hard time approaching women. I mean, Rachel, you are absolutely gorgeous, and if you
both
are,
of you guys are attractive,
yes, you both.
So it's
are.
So easy for you guys to give this advice,
right? Exactly. And I'm thinking, if Rachel was in a room, I would not be able to work up the courage to talk to her. So both of you. How do you get past that and approach anxiety? First, Hunt.
Okay. Well, the first thing that you have is, so many guys have worst case scenarios in their head that are totally divorced from reality, and that they think the woman's going to say, go screw yourself. Don't, go away from me. I don't want to talk to you. And that's not the case. So a lot of the times, for the first thing I have to do is actually take them out and show them that there is no worst case. The worst case scenario is people have exchanged a couple of sentences back and forth. Nothing develops from it, and so be it. So once they realize that, women understand that it takes some cojones to go up and talk to them. So for the most part, they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt and want to see what you have. So part of that is just is repetition and getting out there. And one of the things, like, this whole process is very mental. And what I tell everybody, myself included, is that every time you talk to somebody, you learned something, you got deeper, more interesting, wiser, you learned a little joke or a nuance or anything like that. So if you can put yourself into a mental state that every experience that you ever have talking to someone makes you a more interesting person, then if it doesn't go so well, like, for instance, if I went up and talked to somebody and got completely shot down, just say worst case scenario, I now have a story, a funny little anecdote. So that's made me still a more interesting person.
Mm, good point. Good point. Rachel, how would I flirt with you if I were to see you?
Right now you
are. I agree with everything that Hunt just said, and also just adding on, removing those expectations. So you're expecting that everybody of a certain look or a certain, quote-unquote caliber of woman is not going to be interested. And the fact of the matter is that assumes so much about the other person, without regard to actually what they're attracted to, the type of person they're attracted to. So really removing those expectations and assumptions is a huge part of overcoming that fear. And then the other thing I would suggest is, for anyone who has issues with approaching and just putting themselves out there, is to just practice with anybody. And you realize after a while that it is just as easy to approach and talk to someone you're not attracted to and have that conversation as someone that you are, once you kind of build that muscle up. And I totally believe that flirting is a muscle, and it's something that you can work on. And I have all of my clients start with someone who they're just not as attracted to because it's less intimidating. But they see the results of it, and it's impressive to them, and it gets their ego and their confidence built up so that they're able to translate that into someone that they are attracted to.
Good point.
Now, what you both really are saying as we wrap up this interview is it sounds to me, when you say expectations, it's also oneself their own beliefs about themselves, whether they
confidence.
Yeah, confidence, and because you've heard sayings like she's out of your league or you know, things like that, and that's just from a belief system. Because if you believe and how you see the world and how you see yourself, that you're certainly equal and you can offer something to someone, then that's up to them at that point. See, you're not going to negotiate against yourself right off the bat. You're going to be present. You're going to be aware. You're going to show your true version of yourself. And then it's up to them to decide if they have their own solid belief systems and core values intact, and they don't react to the superficial qualities, but they react to the core values, like I think you both said earlier.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And above all, confidence is the hottest thing that you could come to the table with. If you're confident in yourself, you see this all the time with people who are, quote unquote, you know, matched with unmatched attractiveness in partners. And when you ask these people, how did you fall in love with your mate? It's their confidence. So that's such a true statement that it's really what you're bringing to the table and the feelings that you have.
And let me just add to that real quickly, too. And a lot of that, in order to get confident, men most of the time set unrealistic goals. I'm going to go out tonight and get 3 phone numbers. Well, if you do go out and you don't get that, how is that going to make you feel? Bad. Is that going to make you want to do it again? No. So I'm going to smile at 3 women. I'm going to just say hello to 3 women. You can't fail at that, and then that makes you feel
better.
Oh,
yes, you can. I once said hi to a girl, and she went, ew.
Really?
Wow.
Swear to God.
Wow.
Wow.
Tell us, Eric, you're not that ugly. Come on, man.
Thanks, Greg.
Well, how do you that brings up a good point. I know we got to go in a minute, but that brings up a good point. How do you get past those kind of situations like Eric experienced? And, you know, I have some pretty horrible horror stories and, you know, similar to that as well.
All right, I was an actor and walking around New York City for years going on auditions and hearing no, 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 no. At the beginning, I first heard, no, you're not attractive enough. No, you're not talented enough. No, you're not big enough. No, you're not fit enough. And it affected me. And then I realized that that's not what they were saying. You were either right for the part or you weren't right for the part. So when somebody says something to you and it doesn't, or you go up to someone and it doesn't necessarily work out, it has nothing to do with you. They don't know you at all. It has nothing to do with any of the things that make up yourself. It's just a non-starter at that moment. And once I lost that fear of failure and realized that it really didn't have anything to do with me as a person, it opened the door so wide for me to go up and talk to anybody, because I knew even if it was a bad outcome, it had nothing to do with me. It had only something to do with them.
Right.
Well, and if you're looking for the long term anyway, you don't want someone who's going to completely judge you just on the external. If you, uh-huh. if all you've done is walked up and said hello, you know,
right.
that's their loss, because they're not finding the true you inside, and that's not who's going to be your soulmate.
And exactly. Really, you go to someone and talk to someone and it doesn't work out, what do you actually lose? You only lost 15 seconds out of your life. Anything else is purely mental, purely in your head. And that's why I said this whole process is so much more mental than people think.
Eric, in this case, you only lost 3 seconds because ooh is 1, 2.
Yes.
Oh, 2 seconds. Sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter. I have a very hot girlfriend.
Yes, yes. Yeah, she's and such a nice person, too. You got the complete package, Eric.
Now, I completely agree with that. And now,
yeah.
Finally, before we go, each of you, I'm going to a graffiti crawl tonight. I'm hoping to meet some you know, attractive ladies. I don't have a Valentine yet. 602-252-1480. But so from each of you, we'll start with Hunt. But I'm going to ask both of you, give me one sentence and one sentence only. How do I walk up to someone and, you know, with confidence.
Tonight, right?
Yes.
I would say ask them an emotional question. Instead of saying, like, do you like that piece of art? Like, what does that art really remind you of? Or something that in order they have to answer, it's going to elicit a, you know, real positive response in them.
Excellent. And Rachel?
I go with, hi, can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Oh, wow.
There is no woman that's going to not want you to go grab her a glass of wine.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you don't want to keep going around buying girls drinks.
that gets pricey.
So I'll have to be selective in who I ask that. That's a good...
Yes, depends how expensive the drinks are.
Work your way up the chain.
If you have a lot of money, you could say, rather than, hey, can I buy you a drink, can I buy you a lifetime?
Oh. Wow. That's okay.
And then she'll walk
my
away.
Husband is a natural flirt.
All right.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, so I want to thank you both for joining us. Rachel D'Alto, you're the author of Flirt Fearlessly. People can go and buy that. It's wherever books are sold, and Amazon and all that.
And it's a great book. I've read it too.
Oh, really? Okay, great, great. Well,
I'm paid to say that.
No, I'm serious. I'm going to go out and get this book.
You guys should be dating.
Yeah, they should. Well,
no,
he's married.
Married.
I know.
He's married. And
we can still flirt.
Yeah, flirt. They can still flirt. And Hunt Etheridge, you're the co-founder and CMO of International Dating Coach Association. I know that you can coach people and help them find a coach and also teach them how to be a coach themselves, right?
That's true. Yep.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you again for joining us, and we would love to have you on again. Thank you for celebrating Valentine's Day with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Wow. That was really good. I like that a lot.
Yes. I've got some tools in my arsenal now for tonight.
Yeah. I don't know the drink thing, though. That's an old-fashioned.
That gets expensive, going around buying girls drinks. And you know what? Of course, there's not one woman who's going to say no to that.
Right. Well, I kind of disagree with the drink thing as well, because, I mean, I am reading the game. And
if they don't like you, they're going to take your drink.
Exactly. And also, you don't want to be needy and buying someone a drink. You want them to want something from
then
you.
Then I got it.
Rather than you giving something to them.
Hello.
That might work for
women.
Can
you buy me a drink?
Yeah, that's a good line. I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
I like it, right?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, we probably need to go to a break, huh?
Yeah, let's go to our break. We got a lot more on our Valentine's Day special, but this song is from When Harry Met Sally, It Had to Be You.
I'll Another have what Meg she's Ryan. Having.
Yeah. Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, he's good. Do you like him?
Yes. Finally found somebody who... Come on, boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Make me be true.
Boom, boom, boom.
Serenade our listeners.
Boom.
Make me be blue.
Ooh, I'm falling asleep. And this is 1480 AM Studios, Breakthrough Entertainment, KPHX. And now, Greg will be singing the rest of this, maybe not, and we'll be right back.
Might never be mean. Might never be cross. Or try to be boss. But they wouldn't do.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
I bless the day I found you. I wanna stay around you now and forever.
And welcome back to 1480 AM,
where we have Stephanie Miller tickets
and KPHX in Phoenix. But let's go back to Stephanie Miller.
Sexy liberal tour.
Well, before
it's next week on the 15th.
Wow.
So that's... you shall see. Well, call now.
No, don't tell them to call now.
No.
Like, calm down.
No, we have to do like the fifth caller thing.
Yeah, but before we do that, this song is from Flipped, Let It Be Me, it's Phil Everly.
Oh, well, Phil his Everly. Brother died or something.
Yeah.
Recently.
Just, like
or was it
ago.
Him that died?
I don't remember which one.
One
died,
of the Everly
One of the Everly brothers died. Well,
singing that so good?
No, it was good.
What is Trisha's?
It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic. Well, but this song is from Flipped. Have you ever seen Flipped?
No, I haven't.
Flipped is a wonderfully romantic movie all about how two kids can meet and, you know, really fall in love from a very young age.
How old were they?
They were very young. It was like teenage love. It's set in like the 50s or something. It's so romantic. One of my favorite romantic movies. It's only from a few years ago. I'm surprised that you haven't heard of it.
I don't know, man. Maybe I did. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway.
I see so many movies, I can't remember them all.
Well, I want to butt in. I was out there getting coffee, but we'll go to break, breakradioshow.com, and click the big F, and leave us comments whether you like the singing or not in there, and we'll see.
Greg is telling me outside the studio that the singing must stop.
No, yes, yes. No. I'm on the team of let's shut up.
Edward. No, Team Edward.
So if you're on Team my Jacob. Side, go on there. You can call us 602-252-1480, and we can get Dave and Joseph to tone it down.
Hey,
or you can tell me I'm wrong. If you think I'm wrong,
and if you want to hear Greg sing, you can also call.
But Joseph, how did I sound? Wasn't that clever how I came in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric, what do you think?
I thought it was great.
I thought it was good. Trisha, come on. You can tell me. Be nice.
I've received some messages saying to have Dave stop.
Well, and I thought it was very cute.
It was cute.
Yes.
You can move that microphone down a little there.
Yeah. But there's a butt in here.
Yes.
What?
I do have a butt.
No. No, that wasn't the question.
No. The butt was to a point because, I mean, you're singing over Everly.
I can't compare with Everly.
No. But
a guy
you don't want to be
dead. I can't compare.
No,
with...
yes. Oh my love, you are my one and only.
I'll put it out. Oh, yeah. I'll put it out there like this, and we'll see. Well, maybe we'll get Eric involved. It's an inside joke, maybe on things. It could be fun and funny in here, but I think to the outside listener, they're like,
"Well, let's get their opinion." That's why we're asking for the opinion.
So when
people call in, can we ask them what they think of the singing?
Sure, why not?
When they all call in, what do you think of the singing? No, you're not the fifth call next.
And we don't want to know if our singing is good. We know that we're not Phil Everly.
Oh yeah, we
but
know.
Do you enjoy?
If you have a good voice,
do you enjoy the fun of it?
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Oh, it's like Elvis. Karaoke in here, for God's sake.
It's fun.
Eric, I thought you sounded good, though. You have a good voice.
Thank you.
You really
Eric
do.
Always does
I very good. Was a professional musician for years. But can we give some tickets away?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's do it.
Stephanie tickets. Miller's Sexy Liberal Woo. Tour, guys.
Right. Yeah.
I'm busting out the lines right now, and we're going to go with the third caller, not the fifth.
Okay.
Third caller on the count of three.
Should I give the number out?
Yeah.
602-252-1480, 602-252-1480.
All right. Three.
We are
two,
so excited.
One.
Happy
caller
New
for
Year's.
A pair of Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Tour tickets.
Oh, give us a call.
Caller.
That's
third
next
caller.
Week. I'm looking forward to that. I got to tell you now.
I'm excited, too. This is going to be great.
Very, very.
We only have a few more pairs left. All right. The phones are lighting up, people.
They are lighting up right now.
I'm going to handle the phone calls while you guys carry
on. Ask if they like our singing. Okay.
I will.
Yeah. Anyway. No, it's a good idea, Greg. You had. Just, you know, why not? Survey.
Yeah, well,
it's the only
fun.
Way I can maybe win this one.
No, I agree with you. I think that this is a good idea.
But it's a fun thing. We're just having fun. And,
we're having fun.
You know, and
all right,
especially,
call in, people.
Keep calling. 602-252-1480. We're serenading our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what they say.
It's our Valentine's Day special here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Yeah. And we do hope Joseph will get a Valentine.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'll tell you
all about it next week.
Rachel DeHalto.
Well, yeah, she's very attractive. Absolutely.
How old is she?
She looks about 20, doesn't she?
She does. Age
but
really
that's
matter,
not what
my
you
love.
Ask and talk about this.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Forgot.
She's timeless, that's what, right?
Yeah.
Ageless.
Ageless.
Ageless beauty.
Yes, right? And timeless.
Timeless?
And ageless.
Ageless.
Back to you. Okay, so what's next on our agenda?
Well, we've got three movies that we'll talk about here, but I think Eric's working on the phone line. So we have a winner?
We got a winner, Eric.
We have a winner. I'm going to put him on, and his name is Paul. Hey, Paul, congratulations.
Thank you.
Paul, congratulations, and we know you're going to enjoy it. We'll be there as well. One big question is, do you like our singing or not?
You
can be honest.
No.
No.
Okay, good. One for Greg.
All right, so we got...
You told me to be honest, right?
Exactly. No, it's okay.
Yes.
All right, so 1-0.
We're revoking those tickets, Paul.
No, it does not affect the tickets.
No, don't worry about that.
Sexy Liberal Tour, here we come.
No, you get the tickets. Of course you do. And just remember, we'll call. Bring a picture ID.
Very good.
All right, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, you guys. I enjoy your station and all the programming that you've got on. I really appreciate what you do.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Greg, that doesn't count because that was a dude. We're waiting for a lady to call.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Ladies, so call in.
Give us a call, and we'll...
Call in now if you want. Right.
Well, let's talk real briefly about three of the movies that are coming out this weekend. One is called Run and Jump. Will Forte plays an American doctor who travels to Ireland to study a family after its patriarch, Edward McLeam, suffers a stroke which changes his personality, leaving his wife, Maxine Peake, to run the show. It's an Irish import. Did you see the trailer for this?
I did see the trailer. I thought it looked like it had potential heartwarming, a character develop type film, maybe a... somewhat a light romantic comedy of sorts, but I couldn't quite tell. But it looks like something I'd watch.
You're doing pretty good at these trailers. It does have potential, but it doesn't reach it.
Oh,
it doesn't reach
darn.
It. You know, I love the actor Will Forte. He was so great in Nebraska, right? We saw him, of course, first on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Mr. MacGruber.
Exactly.
And he's also in the Lego movie, Abe Lincoln. But real quick, is this movie a drama?
Lego?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not talking about Lego.
No, yeah, not today. We'll get to it later. Yeah, but this movie's a drama.
Yes, it makes
two in a row for Will Forte.
Yeah,
because with Nebraska, even though I didn't see it, always been known for his comedy, and so it's kind of interesting to see.
Oh yeah, yeah. He is really good. He's good as a comedian, and he's good as a dramatic actor.
Sure, yeah.
Really great performances from everyone involved here, but this is too cluttered. The movie's too cluttered. Yeah. It tries to be a million things at once without ever stopping long enough to do any of them particularly well. It's a very jumbled technique. It only poses a challenge to viewers' attention. It could not keep my attention.
No.
It was just all over the place, so I'm giving it a thumbs down. But we gave tickets to listeners for A Fantastic Fear of Everything. This is Simon Pegg's new movie.
Oh.
He plays a children's author turned crime novelist whose detailed research into the lives of Victorian serial killers has turned him into a paranoid wreck, persecuted by an irrational fear of being murdered. Hmm. Looks funny, right?
I saw the trailer, and here's my comment.
Yeah,
it looks
funny.
Completely stupid.
Looks stupid.
Completely stupid.
You know, I like Simon Pegg, and I just watched The World's End, and I thought that was pretty darn funny.
Yes. I did not care for The World's End.
I didn't see it. But
Am I right?
I
is it completely Pegg, stupid, though. This thing?
Yeah. No, it's not stupid. It's, you know, there's two really great scenes in this movie. I'm giving it a thumbs down, but not because it's stupid. It's, you know, there's two scenes in the movie that are great and unforgettable. Mm-hmm. The one when Simon Pegg, because he glues a knife to his hand, and he goes, because he's got this irrational fear of the laundromat. He goes to the laundromat.
That's well, who doesn't?
Scary.
Right.
Yeah, things that go on there.
But he goes there, and because he was abandoned as a child in a laundromat and all that stuff, which is, you know, interesting. But he goes there, and he doesn't realize that he's burned off his hair, and he doesn't realize that he's got this knife stuck to him. And so all the women in the laundromat think that he's there to kill them, and they lock him in the laundromat, and the cops come and everything. That's a lot. That's funny. That's hilarious. And it's, you know, really intriguing as well. And later on, he tells us this little story that's, I believe, in claymation of a hedgehog and kind of an adult fairy tale, if you will. And but unfortunately, the movie, you know, it's just not all that not that amusing, the rest of it. Two great scenes. The rest is, you know, wildly unfocused. I'm giving a thumbs down. And finally, in this segment, we'll talk about Welcome to the Jungle. Adam Brody plays, and you know Adam Brody from the OC.
Good actor.
Yeah. Plays one of several unsuspecting office workers who must battle nature and each other when they find themselves stranded on a desert island after a corporate retreat led by an unhinged former Marine played by Jean-Claude Van Damme goes horribly wrong.
Jean?
Jean-Claude. Sorry. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Because I'm
No, it doesn't matter. You'll never live that down.
Right.
Oh, no.
That would be one of her bloopers.
Right.
That's like Carlos Estevez.
Yes. You've made Jean-Claude Van Damme very upset now.
Well, that's okay. He starred in this movie, which looks...
I helped you out by saying
I saw
it too,
this one,
so,
this
you know.
Trailer too, just a trailer, and it looks completely stupid.
And this one, you're completely right
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it really looked like completely stupid.
Yeah, it desperately wants to be the next satirical comedy about life in the workplace. Think Office Space or Severance or even TV's The Office. And in the beginning, it does really, really well at this. But then it does not take long before the movie goes way too far. It loses its footing, just like the characters in the movie. They lose their footing on the real world, goes way over the top, and the deal-breaking moment occurs when Jean-Claude Van Damme is mauled by a wild tiger over and over and over again and yet survives the ordeal with hardly life-threatening injuries.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spoiler.
Sounds realistic.
Yeah, very realistic movie, and that's what tears this movie down. I'm giving it a thumbs down. So far today we have three thumbs down.
And I would agree.
Yeah.
Based on the trailer.
Wow. You're bumming me out today.
Well, we have two more that we'll talk about in our next hour, but let's go ahead and go into another break now. And taking us into our break is a song from my favorite romance movie of all time.
Romancing the Stone.
No, Serendipity.
Romancing when you're stoned.
Serendipity. Do you believe in fate, Dave?
Yeah. No. I don't
know.
Kismet.
Dave doesn't know what it means.
Fate? I know what it means.
No, I thought he
things
was cool.
Happen for a reason, especially in romance.
Oh, yeah, I do.
By the way, Dave, you have way too many pens in your pocket.
Yeah, look at that. I sell them on the site. Look at that. Got a yellow one.
You got like 8 pens in your pocket.
I know. It's really actually dealer. 5. Yeah.
This is When You Know by Sean Colvin. Serendipity. Serendipity for Valentine's Day.
I don't think we'll be singing until we get a thumbs up. So, hey, if you like our singing, call in 602-252-1480 because we will not sing until we get someone to say, yes, tie up the score. It's 1-0. We're losing.
And more tickets for the Sexy Liberal Tour when we come back.
Woo-hoo! Excellent. And we'll be right back.
There's no way you can wait till tomorrow.
This is 1480. KPHX, Phoenix.
The lift is up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain high.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here at 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and the lovely Trisha.
I'm floating right now.
Yeah. Are we giving away tickets to this break?
Yes, let's do it right away.
All right.
So we can get our guest on.
All right, call in 602-252-1480. What the
third caller right now. Come on, let's hear it.
Woo! Third caller, come on in, Stephanie. The sexy liberal tour, Stephanie Woo-hoo! Miller, coming up next Saturday, 602-252-1480. Third caller will win these tickets.
I'm so excited for that.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Awesome.
It's going to be really good.
It's incredible.
The boards are lighting up. Everyone loves Stephanie Miller.
602-252-1480.
Yeah, third caller.
652-1480.
And I think we got a winner already. Yeah. Ask if they like our singing too, by the way. Okay,
well,
Joseph.
You know, of course, before we have on our guest and find out who won, that song, of course, is very well known from what movie? Officer
Lost
and a Gentleman.
Yes, Officer and a Gentleman. Yeah, Richard Gere.
Up Where We Belong. Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warnes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, right? it's a beautiful song.
Yeah. It really is.
And of course, this is our Valentine's Day special. We're celebrating all things love. Earlier, we talked all about how to find your special someone for Valentine's Day, right?
That's right.
And, you know, in just a few moments, we're going to find out how to romance your special someone. Perhaps you already have one, like Dave and Trish here.
Oh, yeah.
You each have each other, so we're going to find out how you can romance. And maybe I'll get lucky, and I'll actually get a Valentine's Day date.
I think you're going to get lucky. You're a radio personality.
Yeah. All right, we have a winner. Deborah, how are you? Congratulations.
Hi. I'm fine. I just picked up the line, gave it a try. I'm shocked I won.
Congratulations. Hey. Now, Deborah, it doesn't tie into whether you get the tickets or not. You already got them. But do you like our singing, Joseph, mine, and, Joseph, mine, and Eric?
I got to confess, I didn't hear a lot of it. But I do enjoy your show every Saturday.
All right. I think that qualifies.
Yes,
the one.
Sorry,
she said show, not singing.
Can we do it?
All right, well, hey, Deborah, congratulations.
Yes.
Remember, we'll call. Show up early and with a picture ID, and they'll give you your tickets.
Great. Thank you so much,
congratulations.
Guys.
All right, congratulations. Woo-hoo! All right, now we have a guest, too, right, Joseph?
Yes, right now we have on Vin Armani. He's the star of Showtime's Gigolos and author of Tao of the Gigolo. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, great. Now, you know, first of all, I know you're on Showtime. You can do a lot of stuff on there, and you know, so we want to make sure that you're, you know, that you're on the air live here, right?
I have been listening to FCC approved radio and television and watching it since I was probably about two. So I'm think I'm familiar with the rules here.
And that's okay, because I have control over the dump button.
But
I'm able to I'm able to control my vocabulary. It's I've been doing it for a while now, so yeah.
Excellent. Well, we really appreciate that, and we appreciate having you on. This is a great show on Showtime. A lot of watchers, and but you are basically a real life gigolo, and we want to not know. We don't want to know about the sex part of your job, but romance part, because I know a lot of women go to you not because they're looking for the sex, but they want the fantasy of the romance, right?
Yes.
Well, I would say all women. I think that there's this great line Will Smith says in Hitch, where he says that no woman walks out of the house saying to herself, "Man, I hope I'm not swept off my feet today." And it's pretty much that. I mean, even if a woman is going out on a date and she is, shall we say, a little bit feeling a little bit frisky that day, it's not like she doesn't also want that date to be incredibly romantic, so that at least if something happens at the end, that it's payoff of some great, wonderful experience. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's really what all women are coming to me for.
Oh, okay. Great point. And so is there hope because earlier we were talking about how to find your special someone, and I don't have a Valentine's Day date. If I do manage to find one, is there hope for me to, actually fulfill a woman's every desire? I mean, in the romance department, or is that, kind of an impossible thing to strive for?
Well, I mean, there is definitely hope. I would say that the first thing is to be... It takes a little bit of courage at first if you're not used to doing it, but one of the most important things, and this is whether you're single and just dating somebody or you are in a relationship that you've been in for quite a while, is to have open and frank conversations about what her desires actually are. You know, I think that a lot of men leave that part out, and I mean, this Valentine's Day, no matter who you are, it's a wonderful thing, and it's even if you were just to go out and meet somebody, and it was just Valentine's Day, it was your first date, to sit and talk and say, it's something that I do as a part of my profession, but to sit and talk and just say, I'm always interested to hear what people's fantasies are, what their ultimate experience is, and just sit down and talk. And if you're in a calm environment, that conversation can get into some wild places. But once you know what it is that she wants, it's usually pretty easy to fulfill it.
You know, Vin, this is Tricia. One of the things I wanted to ask you specifically was, how many of these women do you think come to you because they know that they're going to get that romance as part of the package, as compared to the game? We were talking earlier in an earlier segment about the game and the book The Game, where you keep a woman guessing whether you like her or not. From a woman's perspective, at least for me, I always hated when people were playing those kind of mind games. I just wonder how many of your clients come to you because they don't want to have the game. They want to have you. They want you to romance them. They want to have that. What do you think?
Well, that's actually a really good question. And in terms of, it's funny that you bring up the game, because I actually know a lot of those guys, and that's how I sort of developed my skills in seduction, was in the pickup artist community in LA. And the thing about that is, there were definitely a group of those guys who approached it in a very antagonistic way. There was another group of those guys who really are not talked about in the book, who were the guys that I was with, who really saw ourselves as perfecting our dating skills. And so women are coming to me, I always say that I'm a professional dater. That's really how I describe myself. And that it isn't a game. It's genuine. It's something that I love to do. It's something that I do well because I'm practiced at it. And really, yeah, that's what it is that I'm looking to provide, is what is her perfect date, and can I provide her that perfect date? There really doesn't have to be a game involved. It's not just because I'm a professional. I was doing that in my private life as well. But I would rather fulfill what it is that this woman wants, because I know that the payoff for me is going to be huge, professionally and personally.
Great. And now, I know that guys struggle with this on a regular basis. I mean, there's even that, What Women Want, that movie. How do you know, I mean, because you don't want to, or do you want to just go up to, your special someone and say, what do you want to do? Or how do you surprise them? How do you know what romance means to them?
I think it's a lot less of what do you want to do, because when we have that conversation, certainly, I mean, I can imagine everybody's had this sort of, who's been in a relationship, you know, Valentine's Day comes along and it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Are we going to go to dinner? Am I going to, you know, get, if you're a guy, especially buy some tickets to a show or something, like it's, and it starts to become stressful. You develop a complex and then you really, the romance is out of it because now it's all about the plans, right? So it's really more about having this conversation in a time that isn't charged and in a relaxed environment. A great Valentine's date is just simply to be like, let's just go and grab some, a nice glass of wine somewhere, sit down, maybe have a little something to eat, and in that say, you know, it's Valentine's Day, let's talk about our mutual fantasies. And you talk about it not in the bedroom, not in this, you know, you talk about it in kind of an FCC-approved way, if you could say. So it, without all of the overtones, and it really is about communication. You can't read somebody's mind. I can't. I'm a professional. I can't read a woman's mind, you know. But in the first 10 minutes of sitting down and speaking with her, you know, I usually am saying, okay, why are we here? What's going on? And if you're open to listen and you really want to know, most people will reveal intimate secrets to you without even knowing.
I love that. Communication. I mean, Vin Armani, you are a romance expert. You know, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about Tao of the Gigolo. Where can people find it and what will they find in it?
Tao of the Gigolo is available on Amazon and for Kindle. It's available at Barnes & Noble. And basically, it's a philosophy book, I guess you could say. It's written primarily for men, and it's a bit about my journey into sort of the world of seduction, but also how a man can structure his life and what sort of beliefs about love and marriage, about monogamy, about understanding sexual value, all of those things. I think it's a really unique book, and people will enjoy it. And also, I've started a new agency called Companion Concierge, which is at companionconcierge.com. And we have hired a bunch of men that are following along in this philosophy. So that's something very new for our profession. And I think it's something new for romance in general.
I'm available for one of those positions.
There you go. Give me a call.
And I'll take two of the positions.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, I'm kidding.
Well, again, Vin Armani, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone, watch Showtime's Gigolos. That's on every Friday, right?
It's on Thursdays at 11 o'clock on Showtime.
Okay, Thursdays at 11 o'clock. Thank you very much, and happy
Thank
Valentine's
you guys.
Day.
You know, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Know. Number six, Eric.
That is
number six.
He's very articulate. I like that guy, Vin.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that we all could do as well as he can in the romance department.
I wish we had more time after the break. I'm going to say what I think I just heard.
We'll get him on. Okay. We'll get him on another show because that was excellent.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard this one. This is from
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. Oh, nobody puts baby in a corner.
Oh,
yeah,
hey,
you remember
nice.
That? I like that. That's a pretty good movie.
Patrick Swayze.
Do you know how to dance dirty?
Oh yes.
Uh-oh.
You do? I didn't know that.
We're gonna do some dancing lessons.
Dance, baby.
Really?
We're gonna do some dancing lessons for a future show.
Oh, good.
Serious?
I need it.
You're up for it, right?
Wow, we're dancing on the table now. Okay. And this
hey, when we come back, we've got a special guest.
Excellent. Woo. And everyone stay tuned for that. Are we gonna give away some more tickets after the break?
We gotta go.
This is 1480 KPHX Phoenix.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live at the 1480 Studios KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Joseph.
Say anything.
Tricia, Greg, and Eric. This has been a great show so far. I really liked all our guests.
Yeah, but Vin Armani was
Vin
great.
Was really cool.
We'll have him on again. That was a great segment.
And I already looked at his website.
And, of course, if you want to...
I applied.
Yeah, it's concierge. I know, we're getting so many people wanting to know how to spell concierge.
Yeah.
How do you spell it, Tricia?
C-O-N-C-I-E-R-G-E.
Yes, that's great. And that song was from Say Anything. You know that scene where John Cusack holds the boombox up in the air?
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
I love that
movie. It's an old movie.
Yeah.
Really. Hey, we have a guest on.
Excellent.
Oh,
we have Mr. John Fugelsang. John, welcome.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey, it's great to hear your voice, man, and have you back on our airwaves here.
I'm thrilled. I've always had a great time at PHX, and I'm glad you guys would lower your standards enough to have me on again.
Yeah, right. Hey, John, we're going to give away some sexy liberal tour tickets. Would you like to help out?
You mean a sexy liberal comedy tour with Stephanie Miller and me at the Orpheum next Saturday?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. So,
there are some victims right now.
All right. So, hey, let's do a third caller. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
You know how excited we are to bring this show back after 2 years, finally, Phoenix? I'm so thrilled to be back in town, and I hope to sexually harass all of you in person.
Hey, let's do a countdown. Third caller, John, countdown.
3, 2, 1.
All right,
there we go.
The
wow,
board's lighting up already. All right,
that started before the countdown.
So, John, let me introduce you to the other people on the show here. We got Dave Isaac, Greg Isaac, Joseph Erda, who's a film critic, and we got Trish as well. And they're going to carry on talking to you. You can explain what's going to happen this next Saturday.
So, John, welcome to the show. This is Dave Isaac and Breakthrough Entertainment. So, tell us a little bit about what's going to go on, and I believe it's next Saturday, February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. What? Tell us a little appetizer. What's going to happen?
Well, for those who didn't have the pleasure last time, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour began a couple years ago, and it wound up kind of getting a bit bigger than any of us ever planned. And our first year on the road, we were up for 4 Billboard awards, and our first album went number 1 on 3 charts. It was a raucous success, and celebrities have joined us on stage, and the groupies are great. And now, after playing in Phoenix in 2012, we're finally coming back this Saturday. Stephanie Miller, myself, and Carlos Alazraki of Reno 911 and the Stephanie Miller Show, as well as Jim Ward and Chris Lavoie. So it's going to be the full Stephanie Miller experience live on stage. And I love the Orpheum. I've played there a few times, and I'm delighted to be bringing this unholy mess of a brilliant, moral, and completely filthy political comedy tour back to this beautiful shores.
Right. John, you know, since this is our Breakthrough Entertainment's Valentine's Day special, I'm wondering, are tickets still available, and is this a good show for people to bring their dates to in case they kind of screw up Valentine's Day?
It's a great show to bring your dates to, unless they're hardcore right-wingers. They might not enjoy all the humor. If they don't mind their humor getting a little raunchy while still being on the morally cerebral side, yes.
So refreshments will not include tea, as in party.
Exactly. No, this is an unholy alliance of politics, comedy, and, deeply inappropriate sexual innuendo. We wanted the tour to be like we planned it as being like the blue collar comedy tour for smart moral people whose taste in music doesn't suck, and it wound up getting a lot of fans. So I've always had a great time in Phoenix, and I love playing there. And God knows it's a huge election year. There's so much to talk about, and so much that has to be fought for. And the great thing about this tour is, it really brings people together. If you feel like the only sane person where you work, it's great to be in a room full of other like-minded progressive deviants. So,
now, I'm curious, since you mentioned, right-wingers, do you ever get people there who are maybe hecklers or disagree with you?
A couple times. Only twice. At every show, I always ask all the Republicans in the room to raise their hand, and I make the whole crowd applaud and give them love. Because there's always a couple of husbands who are dragged off there by wives, and they're miserable. And they know we're right, too, so they tend to be forced about it, because no Republican respects John Boehner. Sorry. But one time in San Francisco a couple of years ago, I went down to Occupy and gave out free tickets to some of the occupiers to show our support. And a Ron Paul guy in a clown costume came and started screaming about Obama's a Nazi. And which, that was funny. But the crowd quickly shouted him down. So, the Obama's a Nazi thing. That's like the Tea Party guys drawing Hitler's mustache on Obama. Somewhere in hell, Hitler is furious at these guys for drawing his stash on a black dude. But, Tea Party, Hitler will tell you off when he sees you.
And what I love is what you just said. I'm sorry, but politics is so just full of fodder for comedy.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's nice to make a living doing it. I really love doing political comedy tours because they give us a chance to do the kind of material that gets you banned from the clubs that pay. But the fact is, you know, people love political comedy, and everyone loves Bill Maher and Jon Stewart, but they don't have any kind of shows like that. You don't see political comedy when you go to your local comedy club, and sadly, comedy clubs are often, you know, cesspools of misogyny and homophobia, and we wanted to do something that was smart and positive and, you know, took top-tier talent, and, you know, we've had Lily Tomlin join us on stage for these shows. We've had Rob Reiner. Of course, we've toured a lot with Hal Sparks and with Aisha Tyler. We've had Alan Grayson join us on stage 3 different times. It's a really fun show. There is a Q&A, and now that we're bringing Jim Ward and Chris LaVoy on, you'll really get a sense of seeing a drunken version of the radio show live on stage.
And I, you know, John, I don't care what, you know, if it's left or right comedy. It's just funny. You guys are funny no matter what.
Well, yeah, look, I love Republicans. I don't love who they vote for. The only thing I have against Republicans is they keep forcing me to vote for these damn Democrats. But I do guarantee if you don't like the political humor, there'll be enough launch there to please the most hardened conservative of hearts. And, you know, I talk a lot about religion and God and Jesus and fundamentalist Christianity, and that's kind of my bag of tricks. And so it should be a really fun, unholy, positive spiritual experience for all.
And it's, you know, just entertainment as well. I mean, people might know you from several of your movie roles. I know you've been in Coyote Ugly, a few other things.
Yes, I have another Witness Protection Program film roles. But, yeah, like, you know, well, when I do a show, it's weird because I have the people who, like, the classic rock fans who like me from the VH1 specials I did with Harrison and McCartney. And then I'll have, like, the political junkies who like me on Bill Maher with the whole Etch-a-Sketch thing with Romney on CNN. For my current show, and then I'll have the people who just, you know, watch America's Funniest Home Videos for that couple years I was on that. So I have a pretty specific base of supporters, and I'm very grateful for that.
How did you like working with John McEnroe?
Notice I didn't mention groupies of that program.
I know.
I think McEnroe is he's the greatest tennis broadcaster in the world. He's just amazing on TV, and I think if it had been the kind of TV show that they had sold me, you know, I was living in L.A. and they asked me to fly to 30 Rock for a meeting with McEnroe. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. Sure. And the show that they originally pitched me was going to be John, who's a Democrat, with a female Republican sidekick. And then me as the guy who made fun of both parties. And there'd be a live audience and live bands and comedians. And John was going to invite people on from the right and the left to try and convince him. And that was a really refreshing idea for a show, I thought. But it wound up being something different, and I don't think the show we had played to his blood testing strength. So that's the most diplomatic way I can talk about that show.
And John, any upcoming acting roles for you, either movies or TV?
Yeah, well, I have a film now called The Coexist Comedy Tour, which just came out on DVD, and that's on iTunes and Amazon. And that was a movie I did. That was about, it was a comedy tour of a Christian, Muslim, Jew, atheist, Buddhist, and Hindu. And the Christian dropped out, and they had a nationwide search to find the right Christian comic. They came to me, and I said, guys, I'm not what you're looking for as a Christian comic. I like Jesus, but the fan clubs freaked me out. And, but they asked me to do it. We filmed my set on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11 in New York City. And so it's a movie about religious unity, and it's pretty damn funny. I've also got, a film coming out called The Girl on the Train. That's a film noir with the guy who played Desmond on Lost. And then I'm going to be I'm doing Katie Couric's show every week. I'm doing Wendy Williams' show. I appear on the Ed Schultz show every week. So I'm super busy.
Wow, you're quite a busy guy, and you do a variety of things. So let me ask you as we sort of wrap up, what's your favorite thing to do? I mean, you've done movies, you've hosted radio, TV, other things. What's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing is to listen to PHX, Progressive Talk Radio in Phoenix.
Right answer.
The only station that matters. I've been in your studio. I'm still getting the smell of sulfur out of my clothes. It's a great station. Seriously, I mean, I love doing stand-up, and I really love doing, you know, political stand-up as smart and funny and high energy as I can. And, you know, one of the reasons why I love this tour is that I get to play to great audiences around the country and getting to do the kind of material that you don't see in comedy clubs. And Stephanie Miller is a powerhouse. This guy, Carlos Salazarraqui, who's joining us for this gig, is really a riot, one of the funniest guys I know. I was just playing with him down in Mexico at the Cabo Comedy Festival a few months ago, and he's going to be a great addition to the tour. And, you know, for me, that's a gift. If you can do something you love and perform for smart, moral people who are trying to keep the Senate from turning Republican, I'll settle for that. That's a good way to have fun.
Awesome. Trish, you have a question.
I was just going to say, I think our
Hi.
I just think our entire nation would be so much better off if people could use this comedic edge to be able to discuss things like you do. Yeah, we laugh at it. It's funny. It puts it in the back of our minds. We think about it. I think that's so much more effective than when you're in somebody's face and you're trying to shove your ideology down their throat. So,
well,
I am,
you know what?
So in for
you. Well, you know what? You know what sucks about being progressive, aside from the fact that, you know, you have to, like, you know, fight for the causes that aren't always popular and that you're ahead of your time and that your neighbor with a bald eagle wallpaper fetish will question your patriotism. The toughest thing about being progressive is that you can't be a douchebag. You have to be the good guy. You have to, you know, not give in to the evil right-wing trolls of the world. You got to be the adult. You got to be above the nastiness. You got to use logic. You got to use facts. You got to use humor. Billy Wilder said, "If you tell people the truth, if you're going to tell people the truth, make it funny or they'll kill you." And I find that if I just fall in the gutter debating and calling names with some right wing troll on Twitter who's so macho but can't use his own name and identity, you lose. And being a progressive means you have to love people. You got to love people that aren't you. You got to love less fortunate. It's pretty much everything Jesus talked about, and that's why they're hating this new pope, because he's actually proving the only way to be a conservative Christian is to be a raging liberal. And I think that, you know, humor is the right way to win over the bystanders. If you're never going to win over the trolls, you can win over their kids, you can win over their wives, you can win over people in the room listening to the debate. And, you know, that's why I like progressive talk radio, because I like to hear entertaining political radio that doesn't make me feel like I need to be deloused afterwards, which I get with Limbaugh.
Hey, John, we're going to cut you loose here because I know you're a busy guy. But, hey, we're going to see you next week at the Sexy Liberal Tour. And I think it starts at 8 p.m. Is that correct? John,
are you
there?
Did we give away tickets?
Sorry.
Right here, do we give away tickets?
We can give another pair if you'd like.
That's fantastic. I do have an announcement to make for listeners. If you buy two or more tickets, it's 40% off. And that's only valid through Sunday. You got to go to phoenix.ticketforce.com and use the code SEXY. Again, that's phoenix.ticketforce.com. Through tomorrow evening, if you buy two or more with the promo code SEXY, your tickets are 40% off.
Oh, so nice.
Ooh, Valentine's Day gift.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, let's give another pair of tickets away before you go.
Rock on, please.
Countdown, John.
Hey, three and a two would lead us to one. So.
All right, call in, people. Third caller wins a pair of Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour tickets with John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and who's the other guy?
Hal Sparks isn't on this one. Carlos
oh, he's not?
Rocky.
He's not?
Yeah. It's Carlos Alice Rocky of Reno 911.
All right, cool.
602.
And
252,
the board's lit up.
Wow, boards just light up when that happens.
Wow.
That's very good. I'm looking forward to next week. Wow, February 15th.
Guys, I can't wait to see you. I hope you all come visit us backstage and stick around for the VIP meet and greet. And use the promo code, kids. If you want to buy tickets for a Valentine's Day gift for the lovely progressive lady or man in your life, this will get you a lot of action.
Sexy.
All right. Hey, John, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great week, guys. Take care. Bye-bye. Right,
thanks a lot, John. Wow, very. I can't wait. I mean, you could see some of the a lot of the humor coming out right there. He sounds so funny. What a talent, though.
Yeah, and you can meet him next week in person.
I'm looking forward to it. We'll be there.
Yeah.
No doubt.
40% off if you're sexy. If you put in the promo code sexy. Oh,
even if you're not sexy.
Shoot. Oh, okay.
Promo code sexy.
I was going to say.
So this is good. So I think, I think we already got a third caller.
Yeah, do we have a winner?
Just keep calling.
Keep calling. 602-252-1480. They're calling.
That's right.
It's difficult to get through, you know.
Wow, we've had some amazing guests today.
Yeah.
So
chock full of people guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got another one still, coming up a little bit later on in the show. Around 11:40, 11:45, we'll have on a kissing expert. You're really excited about that, Trish.
I know. I just was thinking.
Oh,
Dave didn't tell you what we did last night.
Uh-oh. Do we want to? Greg?
Oh, God.
I'm going to walk out of the studio. We got film.
Oh, wow.
No.
Sex tape, Paris Hilton, anyone?
We went.
Oh.
You went.
to AMC dinner. And
we'll talk about it after the break. Tell us what movie it was.
Labor Day.
Ooh, Woo! So you're going to tell us after the
we're
break
say,
what
we
that
won't
was.
Give it away.
Oh. Don't. Oh,
we're not giving.
I did.
We
so
did?
I did.
No one know. It's not TV here.
So. Yeah. So here's what we do.
She's a master of disguise.
Yes. We've got three movies that we'll talk about after the break. Two new releases, and we'll also see what you guys thought of Labor Day. Remember, I gave it a breakthrough last week. I said that it would be the perfect Valentine's Day movie. So we'll find out what
we'll
you two
think.
We'll
see if we agree or not with you. So, Eric, we got a winner?
We do. I don't have him on the line. I hung up, but his name was Scott, and he won a pair of Sexy Liberal Tour tickets.
Congratulations, Scott.
And he likes our singing.
I didn't ask.
Oh. But we could have pretended.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Eric.
But, but you know what I really love is we got all these guys calling for tickets. Come on, ladies.
Oh, we have ladies, too.
I know.
Oh, yeah, we did have one, right?
Deborah won earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, if you want to go into our break, this song that's going to take us into the break is from Moulin Rouge, one of my favorite musicals of all time. Come What May, Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor. Isn't that a great movie? What's wrong with you?
Never seen it.
Trisha? Come on. Moulin Rouge?
I don't know if I saw it. Yeah, I think I saw it. Thumbs down by Trisha. Whoa.
I want to vanish inside your kiss. Come on.
I don't remember, but I want to talk to the kissing expert.
Let's have one break without singing.
Yeah, no singing.
Hey.
Here we go.
You can't, when Moulin Rouge comes on, you cannot say no singing.
Can you hear? All right. Your mic is off, Mr. Green. There he is.
No clothes. I mean, that was the best part.
No clothes.
We don't know that
one. The music video.
Well, anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live 1480 AM Studios KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And I will always love you. Will always love you.
And welcome back again to Breakthrough Entertainment live here at 1480 AM Studios KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We didn't go there? Oh, I didn't get it,
thank
actually.
Goodness. Don't repeat it.
What was it?
No, Bittersweet.
This is a good song,
I can sing this like Michael Jackson. You like when I do that, right?
Can he do it?
Well, yeah, go for it. I want to hear that.
Let me hear it.
I'm taking with me.
Oh, good.
So goodbye. So goodbye.
Oh, nice.
Please, that's don't good. Cry.
Hey, we got Trisha involved now.
We both know.
Go ahead.
But I'm not what you need.
I like the part when she goes, but I'm above all this.
Wow, you are good. Eric, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
Do you like his singing?
Yeah, it's okay.
Love you.
I mean, he's kind of
it was good up until
singing.
Now. Now it's not so.
Will, what?
Greg's throwing up in the bathroom.
You.
All right.
Yeah, Whitney Houston, of course. From what movie?
Bodyguard with absolutely. Kevin Costner.
Very good.
Yes. Yeah.
It's and our Valentine's Day special.
And that was actually written by Dolly Parton.
Really? Hey.
Yes.
Eric, is that true? I want a verification.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Let's Google that.
Don't
really
Google
so?
Dolly Parton. You'll get two things that you don't want to see right now here on Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dolly Parton.
She
she's
is
a
good.
Phenomenal. But I'll
Dollywood.
Tell you,
yes.
That combination of her songwriting with Whitney's voice, hello.
Wow.
And Kevin Costner, hello.
It is
what happened
a
to Dave
song?
Isaac?
Oh, baby, you're my fantasy.
Hello. What?
Whoa.
I thought I was your reality.
You are. What's going on? My fantasy and my reality.
She doesn't need Vin Armani. She's got you.
No, I got you, babe.
Yeah. You're
I got
her
you,
Vin.
Babe.
Hey, I'm the Vin.
I got you, babe.
Who's the Vin here? Who's the Vin number on your automobile? Oh, that's a Finn number. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so where were we? We have a couple more movies. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You got something you wanted to...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, because since it's our Valentine's Day special, you know, it's really cool if you don't have a date yet. I mean, of course you can see a movie, but we've reviewed some pretty horrible ones so far. So, you know, one option is to see perhaps one of the movies that we're going to give a thumbs up to. We'll see if there's any in a moment. But also, I believe that the North Mountain Brewing Company has a Valentine's Day special going on. They've got a party, right?
Yeah, they're going to have something going on Friday, the 14th. Join them for Valentine's Day. Great food. And if you love beer, they also have wine, I believe.
Wine? Are you going to be there whining? Or is Greg going to be there whining because he doesn't like my singing?
Our flirting expert, or yeah. No, actually, it was Vin that told us that the best way to start your Valentine's Day would be to sit across the table with a glass of wine or beer if you're a beer connoisseur, because North Mountain Brewery has some phenomenal blends, whether you like the light beers, the dark beers, and, of course, their food. Yes, their shepherd's pie. But, you know, hey, and then you could just say, we're starting out here, babe. What would you like to do now? Or let's talk about.
Hey, I like that. You know, I disagree with one part of that.
What part? That I'm not the Vin?
No, no. Sitting across from your date, I want to sit next to my date.
Oh.
Is that yes or no?
However, eye contact.
Oh, well.
Yeah, eye contact, and you can touch feet under the table like Dave and I always do during the radio show.
Hey, sexy.
Yeah.
Sexy.
No. Men communicate side by side. They're more comfortable, but women love the eye contact.
Yeah, that was Greg's hands.
And that's just
Well, girls are crazy.
And that's just the beginning, because then when you proceed away from there, then you can be next to each other.
There you go. Well, we're going to find out in our next segment how to kiss your special someone or how to improve on that kiss of your special someone. We've got a kissing expert. Eric said on a previous show that this person did not exist. He laughed. He says, a kissing expert. And, you know,
I mean, do people make money like doing this?
She wrote a book called Kissing, and she is the kissing expert, the official kissing expert.
How many pages could be in a book about kissing?
Well, we'll ask her how many pages.
1,472.
1,480. Oh, that's something
else. Oh, yeah, 14. Hey, that was better. You're right.
Well,
they have pictures and stuff.
But before we get to that, let's talk about three more movies. Karma Sutra. Ooh, we'll have the writer of that
Tantra.
On next year.
Ever of Tantra?
Karma Sutra. Isn't it Kama?
Yeah.
No,
I'm just screwing
Tantra.
Up everything today, okay?
Eric, is
Jean.
It Tantra?
Jean-Claude Van Damme
Tantra.
And Karma.
What is Tantra, Eric?
I have
Tantric.
No idea.
Tantric?
I don't
trick or treat?
We probably shouldn't discuss things like that on the air.
No, let's not.
Nothing like that.
Let's move on to The Monuments Men. We've had three thumbs down so far. Monuments Men, this is a pretty high-profile movie.
Please don't give it a thumbs down because I really want to see
down.
It. I really, really, really want to
like
see it.
So if Joseph doesn't like it, you mean
but
you can't
really
see it?
I really want to see it. No, but
we like the cast.
Well, an unlikely World War II platoon is tasked with going into Germany to rescue artistic masterpieces from Nazi thieves and return them to their rightful owners. Stars include George Clooney. It's also directed and written by George Clooney. Mm. Matt Damon, Bill Murray, John Goodman, Jean Dujardin, who we...
Easy for you to say.
Not really.
She's
the
cute.
Artist. What?
Isn't that a girl?
No, it's the guy from The Artist.
So then I guess she's not so cute.
No, the girl from The Artist is cute.
Yes, that's who I thought it was.
No, it's Jean.
Jean again?
Jean.
Okay, I don't know.
I believe it's Jean.
Probably. But anyway, it looks... this. What does Monuments Men look like in terms of other movies? What does it remind you of?
Bill Murray's move thing.
No.
Stripes.
No, it reminded me of...
What?
Is it a comedy?
Band of Brothers.
Well, it's supposed to be a comedy, and which gives you a hint of what I'm going to say. But it kind of looks like Ocean's 11 in a way, right?
You know what? You know what it is. That's what I was going to say. It's all these friends who got together to make a movie.
Yeah, and at least when you're watching Ocean's 11, it looked like everyone else was having fun. Here, no one's having fun.
Oh,
I certainly wasn't. You know, you'd think it would have if it had a little more humor in it. It could have been a good movie. There's little pieces of humor. I mean, obviously, if you have John Goodman and Bill Murray, they're really nice. You know, some bits of humor in this movie that those scenes are good.
There's some nice bits?
Yes.
Not them,
I'm saying
but...
very small bits of humor.
Yeah.
The movie is almost 2 hours, and it's long and boring and historically based.
Sorry, Tricia.
Very dry. I don't think you're going to like it. And I'm not alone in saying this.
You know
There's
what?
A
the
lot of people.
I didn't even like the trailer.
The trailer, they can't hide the fact that it doesn't look that great. This was supposed to come out...
Well, I will tell you, I didn't think it was going to be a comedy.
Oh, okay. Well, you might like it. The concept is interesting. Maybe we'll discuss this on another show. You know, is saving art worth a person's life? You know, and that part of it, because they're going in to rescue this art. And so is culture worth people's lives? People die in this movie. I'm not going to say who, but certain members of the cast.
Well, hey, you know, if they're willing to go and get the art to save it, then I guess it is worth a life.
If they're willing, okay. Well, what about their families?
Well, their families obviously have no say.
Depends how much life insurance.
So that part of it is interesting, and I wish that they had explored that a little bit more, but they basically mentioned that briefly during the middle of the movie and then again right at the end. So they really need to explore it a lot more. So I'm giving it a thumbs down, and it's getting some pretty bad reviews across the board.
Too
it was
bad.
Supposed to come out right before the end of the year. It was supposed to be one of the Oscar movies.
Oh.
George Clooney's pretty good at that, making these Oscar movies, right? Good Night and Good Luck.
His last two were phenomenal, Up in the Air and Descendants.
Right. Well,
great movies,
in terms
right?
of the, but even the ones that he's directed, like Good Luck, Good Night and Good Luck, and I forget his other one. But anyway, he's good at making quality movies. They bumped it to, you know, this week, and so it doesn't even qualify for Oscars or anything like that, and I think that they made a right decision.
Wow.
So, again, all thumbs down so far. So we got another new release. Someone Marry Barry, Damon Wayans Jr., Hayes MacArthur, and Thomas Middleditch play childhood friends. What? That's his name. Don't laugh.
As he were.
They play childhood friends who scheme to find a wife for their socially inappropriate pal, played by Tyler Labine. We know him from a lot of different shows, like Reaper. I don't know if you ever watched Reaper.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Labine.
With,
he's
with Justin Long, where
yes.
he dies.
Yeah. He's a great actor. Really funny. Their plan completely backfires when his new girlfriend played by... Yeah, sorry. Lucy Punch. You know Lucy Punch as
I
well,
do.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yes. She turns out to be just like him. She is the female version of this guy.
Yes.
Right? And so they're trying to get rid of him, and then suddenly
trailer.
They have two of them. What do you think of the trailer?
It looks funny and disgusting.
And we have a thumbs up coming.
We have a thumbs up, finally.
The disgusting part or the funny part?
Both of it.
Oh,
it is disgusting, and it is funny. And, you know, it's really... You do have to put up with some fart jokes and stuff like that.
That's okay.
But that's okay. When it's when it's actually
guess.
Funny...
Is his last name Simpson?
Huh?
Simpson.
Fart. Oh, okay. I got it when I said it in my head. But, you know, it's got a nice message about how there really is somebody for everybody out there, even the berries, you know, even the people who are socially inept and all that stuff. There is someone for everyone. So that's a great Valentine's Day message. And if you think that you're just too wild or if you're just not good enough, I guarantee there is someone out there who is perfect for you, just like it was for this guy. And, you know, again, the characters are kind of quirky and annoying. They're a little bit too amplified at times, but it delivers on its promise of fun. And just like the immature people in your life, you're going to – who you care about for no logical reason whatsoever, you're going to identify with these characters. You're going to like them. You're going to want them to succeed with one another in the equally illogical thing called love. Love doesn't make sense, right? Why we care about people doesn't make sense. We can't put that into words. It's just something that happens.
You put it in action.
Yeah. So
you can put it into words.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, you could.
I can explain why I love Kathleen.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Since it's our Valentine's Day special,
oh, really?
Why?
No, I got to do it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, she's a very genuine, nice person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is easy to love. And, you know, she's gorgeous.
Nice. Yes.
I just put that into words.
There you go.
And that was nice. I like it.
And, you know, she's pretty. Even if she was a mean person, she's still pretty. But the fact that the coupling of her genuine niceness and her looks is just like the whole package.
You're right. She is very nice.
And she loves you.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm so
and
lucky.
That makes it even better.
There very nice.
That's great. That's great. And, you know, so Someone Marry Barry, I'm giving it a thumbs up.
One thumbs up so far.
Only one. But so now that might not be the best movie in terms of date quality. I mean, it's not a quality movie. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's funny. It's comedy. But in terms of romance movies, last week I told you about Labor Day. I gave it a breakthrough.
Yes, you did.
I absolutely loved it. It might be on my end of the year best list. We'll see how everything shakes down. I thought that the pie scene was so romantic. The end, I cried. I want to experience.
And you guaranteed I would cry last week.
I guarantee you would cry.
And guess what?
You cried.
I did not cry.
What?
I did.
She did.
Okay.
But I did not cry.
Why? Are you heartless?
No, but because it was bittersweet.
Yeah, okay.
And I won't give the ending away, but because there was a lot of it could have been joys of tear. Was yours joys of tear?
Joys of tears.
Or tear.
And I get made fun of because I say Jean
yeah,
Claude.
I'm your Vin. I'm your Vin. Okay, so I'm going to say that from now on. But let's say it together. What did we give it? 1, 2, 3, a breakthrough. Yes, Joseph, you
three
were right on.
Awesome.
Was a fantastic movie. Great acting by Kate. Right?
Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
Phenomenal.
Yes. And she really pulls off the plain Jane look.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I really I thought she did an excellent job.
Excellent.
And wasn't that a great message at the end? How, you know, you don't have to walk alone. There is someone out there, and you're never going to walk alone.
It was fantastic.
You it's never too late. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Song Never Walk Alone. Never
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is one. Yes. But I mean, the tragedies that, you know, I won't say too much, that various parties experience also had a commonality between them, I believe. And and the way they developed the story, really, really good. Great acting. I hope it's up for some type of awards, I guess, next year, right?
We'll see. Because, like,
know.
I said, it was originally.
Didn't it win some awards?
Kate Winslet was up for Golden Globe for her role.
Oh, the Golden Globe. I knew I'd seen it,
For last year?
No. Last year. I mean, but I don't know. It's weird how they shuffled it because I don't know where it qualifies.
Okay.
I mean, because I saw it this year, I think I'm going to include it in my best, well, possibly, in my contention for best lists this year.
Yeah, it's definitely a different type of movie. Phenomenal and has some good messages.
And perfect for Valentine's Day, no?
Yes and no. What? It's bittersweet. I'm not sure. What would you say?
It is definitely romantic, and there is that intimacy that I thought was beautiful. But I would say I don't want to pigeonhole it as just a date night movie for Valentine's
Day.
Okay,
fair enough. Yeah.
Because this is a movie that I just think it resonates on so many levels that I wouldn't want to pigeonhole it as just a love story. Because this is so coming of age. It's, you know, risk versus benefit. I mean, everything. I think it's a phenomenal movie.
Really well
done. Very well done.
Is this fair to say then? If you want to make the lady in your life happy, if you're a guy and you're not sure how to make the lady in your life happy, take her to see Labor Day, and she will love it, and you will love it as well.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that it is enjoyable. I mean, I think it's something you could take your family to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have teenagers or whatever, it's not going to be uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's where I think sometimes when you think of a date night movie, sometimes it's like, oh, I wouldn't want to go with my kids, you know.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And, you know, I want to make a pie with someone.
Yeah, that was a good pie.
Ladies out there, 602-252-1480.
And they actually did an excellent job of showing how you cut the dough and getting it, you know, cut everything into there. It was beautiful. Just the whole movie,
I just
thought was excellent. Yeah. Yes, thumbs up, breakthrough,
excellent.
Everything.
Very good.
See Labor Day. Okay, so what are we doing now? Are we?
We can give another pair of tickets away and then go to break.
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, two more tickets for the Sexy Liberal Tour to the third caller on the count of three. Three, two, one.
Happy
Call
New Year.
On in.
602-252-1480. Again, 602-252-1480.
Sexy Liberal Tour.
Yeah, third caller. Come on. Go ahead and call. And we can go to a break while I'm taking the calls.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Go to a break.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment live here, 1480 AM Studios,
Titanic.
KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Boards are lighting up again, 602-252-1480. The sexy,
it's hard for
imitating
you.
Sexy Liberal Tour coming up next Saturday. We'll be right
Titanic.
Back.
That is how I know you go on. Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show you go on. Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart does go on.
This is 1480 KPHX Phoenix.
Welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And this came from, what movie did this come from?
Ghost.
Yeah, yes.
Ghost. What movie was this, though?
Ghost.
Oh, Ghost, of course.
The pottery scene.
Patrick Swayze.
Dude, yeah, that was a good movie, wasn't it?
Oh, isn't that so romantic? Wouldn't you like to... I mean, I talked about wanting to bake a pie with someone. Wouldn't you want to...
Be
on a potter's wheel with someone?
No.
And these are great things to do, very romantic things to do for Valentine's Day.
But he was a ghost.
A ghost? So what?
At the time. Oh, was he a ghost?
Intangible love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't a ghost?
Yeah.
He was a ghost.
He was.
At the time they did the pottery.
But she felt him. That was her.
That's the kind of love
she was doing pottery.
Yes.
He was still living that, though.
He was?
Oh, he was.
I thought, okay, but I just remembered her closing her eyes and remembering that as she was doing it.
I don't know. I
can't remember at what point.
I'll have to watch it again because I'll just tell you that was a very,
that was a good one.
Very romantic.
That's the kind of thing that you want to do on Valentine's Day with your date.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, chocolates and you know, flowers, they're beautiful. But it's the thought and the time with each other and what you do with that time together that really makes it a special Valentine's
Day. Absolutely, absolutely. In one idea is you can always go to the North Mountain Brewing Company on Friday. They've got their big Valentine's Day bash, so you can eat and drink and be merry with your loved one, with your special someone. And then afterward, you can say, "What, you know, let's try this." Give them a few options. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
they also have a beer fest going on.
Yeah.
It's Beer Week, I think, and the beer fest this Saturday.
Oh, exciting. Yeah. And I'll tell you, when we were over there the other day, because we love their shepherd's pie, they had a beer tasting group that was going from different places, and they make their own, and it's excellent, excellent.
So beer. I make my own shepherd's pie, and it's pretty darn good. So you guys keep going on about this place's shepherd's pie, how good it is. Is it really that good?
Well, maybe you should bring yours in and we'll do a taste test.
We could do that.
Yeah, but I heard their beer. I'm not a beer drinker, but the people that came on the beer tour were very impressed by a lot of their specialized beers that they've made. And so Beer Week might be a great idea pre-Valentine's Day.
Well, and of course, when you go to the North Mountain Brewing Company or whatever you do, or if you go to that potter's wheel, or if you do bake a pie with them, what's the one thing that you're going to want to do with them as well?
Oh, kiss.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Nice segue.
Yes, we have. Thank you. We have on a very, very special guest. I could not wait to talk with her. Eric said that she did not exist, but
I never said that.
Yes, she did. She does exist.
I didn't say her personally did not exist.
Well, okay.
The concept.
The concept of a kissing expert does exist. She is the author of Kissing, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About One of Life's Sweetest Pleasures. Thank you so much for joining us. Andrea, is it Demerjian?
Demerjian, you were close, and thank you for that nice introduction. I do exist.
Yay!
Yes.
I am live and happy to be joining you guys today.
I never
thank
said you.
You
didn't.
You said the concept didn't exist because, you know, this is so exciting. People want to know how to kiss their loved ones passionately. They're special someones, and I know that some people out there might not know how to do that. So, first of all, is this information that they'll find in the book? What will they find in your book, Kissing?
Sure. They're going to find a lot of interesting little tidbits, everything from, you know, how the anthropologists thought the first kiss came to be and how it sort of spread throughout civilization and the dawn of time. And but they'll also learn some snappy little tips and techniques that will make for some sexy kissing. So it's everything you needed to know about one of life's sweetest pleasures. The title really says it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the whole way that this thing came about is started as a joke shortly after New Year's Eve, our New Year's Eve special. And we had, you know, I went to a New Year's Eve party and I got a kiss, but it was on the cheek. Right, Dave? And Dave gave me a hard time.
I wasn't there, but you said it was on the cheek. And I thought, why on the cheek?
I had been, you know, I had my eye on this young lady for the longest time, you know, since like last summer, but I couldn't work up the courage. We went over this earlier that I couldn't work up the courage. I can't work up the courage to speak with, you know, beautiful young ladies. And this one, I got a kiss on the cheek from on New Year's Eve, but I didn't get it on the lips. Is that okay? I mean, am I okay, Andrea?
I'm going to say you're totally okay. Cause first of all, on New Year's Eve, that is the best way to usher in a good omen for the year is to get a kiss. And it doesn't have to be a super sexy, slinky kiss. It could be a kind, warm, friendly kiss because it'll set the tone for your year to come. And the year is early, so keep the faith.
Absolutely. I love that. And that's exactly what I thought when this happened. I said, you know, what a better way to start the year than, you know, than this. This is excellent. And
sometimes that's a nice way to start before you have a sexy kiss, is to start with something sweet and soft and get everyone comfortable and then go in for the really passionate, juicy stuff. Sometimes, you know, less is more in the beginning.
Great, great point. Great point. So, what is some general advice you have for someone who wants to know how to kiss passionately and show their special someone that they really mean this kiss, that, you know, what it really means?
Well, I have sort of my kind of like flow of process that might not sound that very exciting or sexy, but it, first of all, to make sure that you're going to get in some really good kissing, you've got to make sure that your mouth and your lips are in good shape. And what I mean by that is that your lips should be moist. It's hard, especially in the winter months, or if you live in hot climates, your lips can get a little bit chapped or windburn. So I tell women as well as men that they really have to moisturize their lips all the time. They have to keep them soft and supple, because there's really nothing worse than kissing someone with sort of bristly lips. And then the same goes for, you know, taking care of your teeth and your mouth and flossing and brushing. And these sound really sort of rudimentary, fundamental things, but they are sometimes overlooked. And then, you know, you could be the nicest guy and then you go in for a kiss, but your lips are chapped, or, you know, you've got a little gristle in your teeth. And you're going to get dinged on a technicality. So you want to make sure you're not going to be in that position. So I always say make sure that your mouth, which is your holy instrument, is feeling really good. And then, you know, it's just really about, I think, setting a nice tone and sort of the mood. You know, maybe you're going out somewhere for a nice dinner. You want to have some nice conversation. This is all sort of the prelude or the preamble or the foreplay that you call it. But you want to make sure someone is in a relaxed state of mind. Someone who's feeling mellow and easy is going to be much more receptive to a kiss.
Let me ask you this, and we'll get back into the great of the greatest kisses. However, what are some of the more unusual kissing customs around the world?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, the reality is universally we sort of kiss the way we all kiss. I mean, the mouth is the mouth, and everyone looks to get sexually excited because the lips are full of nerves, and it sort of gets all the mojo going. As soon as you start kissing, the signals go up to the brain, and all of these sort of crazy things start happening.
Don't Eskimos kiss with their noses when they rub noses? Is that true?
Well, Eskimos do rub noses, and so do cultures down in the Asia-Pacific, because what really they're doing is kind of taking in the scent of their oil gland. So they're rubbing noses around the cheek, around the neck, where you tend to sort of secrete your natural oils. So it's really more of a way of being affectionate and being intimate and sort of knowing what your loved one, what their sort of scent is all about.
Some of us call that nuzzling.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, you know, there's Eskimo kissing that we like to think of. In Europe, there's a lot of levels of cheek kissing that go on. You know, in different countries, there are different numbers of times you kiss each side of the cheek. In some countries, it's also based on age, where you're showing a deference to someone who's older. But the reality is people kiss the way they kiss. It's more the customs are like in certain countries, you're not allowed to kiss in public. It's not forbidden, or it is forbidden, or in cultures, kissing in public is not illegal, but it's really frowned on. So there's just sort of different levels of sort of ease and public acceptance of kissing still.
Great, great. Andrea, I've got a friend, and now this is going to kind of sound like one of those stories, like I've got a friend, but it's really me. But no, I've got a friend. I've got a friend that he hasn't ever kissed anyone, and he's probably in his 30s or late 20s or early 30s. He's never kissed a girl, and is it okay for him to just kiss anyone, or should he wait? Because he struggles with this. Should he wait until it's the perfect young lady?
Well, you know, there is that theory, but I would also imagine because he hasn't kissed someone, there's probably a lot of burden and heaviness around the notion of kissing. And part of me just says he should just have a few random kisses just to sort of get it out of the system and get over a little bit of a hurdle.
Okay. Good point, good point. If anyone's got any questions for Andrea, 602-252-1480. We only have a few minutes left in the show, but 602-252-1480.
Andrea, let me ask you a question. Is kissing also, is that a form of nonverbal communication? And if so, what are you trying to communicate, and what can you communicate?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I think it's probably one of the singular most sort of significant forms of nonverbal communication, because you can be telling a lot. You can be telling someone how much you care for them, how much you love them, how much you lust for them, how much you like them. You're sending out a message that makes the recipient feel good about themselves. They feel attractive. They feel wanted. They feel desired. That boosts their self-esteem. So there's a lot that goes on with something as simple as a kiss.
Oh, okay. Great.
Now, you know, I'm one of those people who thinks that kissing is like one of the most intimate things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Not just as a preamble, but that the act of kissing itself can be just so incredible. So if someone who already has a wonderful relationship going on and they're thinking about Valentine's Day, what kind of a tip could you give to them to make their Valentine's Day kissing even more spectacular?
Well, I have to first say that a lot of women feel that way. And I actually asked my survey of women, if they had to give up kissing or sex, what would they give up? And 66% said they would give up sex before they gave up kissing, just because of its sort of really warm and yummy, fuzzy, intimate sort of deliciousness. And that it was so much more satisfying in many ways than the bada bing, bada boom, which can be a lot of fun, but sometimes doesn't bring that same sort of emotional sort of satisfaction that we're looking for. But it is insanely intimate. And, you know, if you're with someone special, either you've been in a relationship or you've just started a relationship, I just really think it's about being honest and genuine and being gentle, as well as just being sexy. There's nothing nicer than sharing a few chuckles and a little bit of laughter, being complimentary to one another. Before kissing, maybe you're stroking their neck or stroking their hair or holding their hand or kissing their hand. And let it be sort of a nice, gentle crescendo into passionate kissing. I always like the sensibility of starting soft and then letting the passion and the intensity build. And then you'll end up in an insanely delicious, satisfying kiss that way.
Now, we were talking about pie last week, and I thought that all of our listeners were craving pie, and I bet that they're all craving to be kissed right now, hearing the way that you're describing this. So I'm curious, Andrea, is kissing something that you could just throw around? Because I like that you mentioned, you know, it's a very intimate thing. Is it something that you know, if you meet someone, you just kiss them, or does it have to be someone who it truly matters with?
Well, you know, there's always, you know, arguments to be made for kind of both sides. And I really, in my role, I think that it really always comes down to that person or those two people who are interacting and doing whatever feels right for them. You should never feel pressure to kiss someone. If you're feeling that someone's been aggressive with you and trying to kiss you, then you don't want it. That's not appropriate. If you're going out for the first time and you've just met someone and for some reason the chemistry is just flying and the synchronicity is just right and the moment is there, absolutely seize that kiss. I always say, you know, just like carpe diem, you know, carpe kissum, seize the kiss, because sometimes the moment is fleeting. And then there are those who enjoy the opportunity to get to know one another. And when they get to that first kiss, for them, it's probably, in their way, very, very meaningful. So there's really no wrong or right. I really say it's about how the spirit moves you and how you feel in that moment.
Great.
Well, and like you said, follow your heart. If it's a platonic kiss, there's so many different levels of kissing. But even with your loved one, the level
Absolutely.
Of kiss, depending on where you're at and what you're doing, you know, can be a sweet little peck on the cheek or a little, I love you, as compared to a deep, passionate kiss. But I'm so glad people
yes.
like you exist.
Yeah, kissing experts. See, they do exist, Eric.
Joseph proved me wrong.
You've also had really, really nice questions, so I've appreciated that.
Well, we'd love to have you on again. Andrea, I'm going to give
Anytime.
This another shot. Demersion?
Immersion, good.
Excellent.
Really good.
Go out and check out the book, Kissing Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About One of Life's Sweetest Pleasures.
Well,
thank you.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure talking to you about kissing. So have a good day and happy Valentine's Day.
You too. Happy Valentine's
Thank you so
Day.
Much.
Bye.
And I'll say this again, you know, listeners.
Let's take care of, sorry.
And our listeners, if anyone is out there and you just heard that segment and you're craving to be kissed, 602-252-1480.
Oh, I don't think we have enough time to take callers right now.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
But, hey, if you guys don't mind, on the sports show coming up next, Hockey Talk, give one more pair of tickets away. Is that cool?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, and that's for the Sexy Liberal Tour coming up next Saturday, of course, the 15th,
and
which will be great.
Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Yep. Yes, John corrected us on that. And by the way, like he said, I don't know if his phone was kind of making some weird noises, but if you go to phoenix.ticketforce.com and buy two or more tickets and type in promo code
SEXY,
you will get 40% discount on your tickets.
Wow, this will be excellent. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
We got VIP tickets, but we got VIPs.
I can't wait. And, this will be great.
And of course, the most romantic movie of all time, according to a lot of people,
is
The Notebook.
Labor Day. Oh yeah, I love The Notebook.
The Notebook. This song is from that. I'll Be Seeing You by Jimmy Durante.
Oh yeah, I love that.
So great movie again to enjoy Valentine's Day with. And on behalf of Breakthrough Entertainment,
at the end of that movie.
On behalf of Breakthrough Entertainment, I want to wish everyone a very happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day. And that was a kiss.
Yeah, may you find your special someone, romance your special someone, and kiss your special someone like no Valentine's Day before.
Wow, that's Joseph. And stay tuned for a Real Hockey Talk coming up at 1. We'll be right back.
And everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way.